1 Samuel chapter 14. Today we'll share the story of Jonathan. And through this story, I want to share some my personal thought after I read this part of the Bible regarding how to get along with unsaved family members, which is pretty common, at least among some of our new Christian, because sometimes we are the first one saved in the whole family, and then we'll face this similar situation as Jonathan. Let's pray before we open the Word. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the Word and the Holy Spirit that we can have the light from you, Lord. Tonight we open the truth, Lord. We want to understand how to get along with the unsaved family members. And this is sometimes a tough task for us, but we know that we have Holy Spirit to help us. We know that we have the full blessing through Lord Jesus you give us. Lord, we just pray that tonight you can open this word, open the truth to us, that we can get strengthened and can face this spiritual task you laid upon us. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know that in the preaching of Lord Jesus Christ, one time he said, family members are our enemies, right? This is sometimes when new Christians feel kind of weird, right? Why Lord Jesus said this? And then after we saved for a while and get along with our family members, we find, oh, that's true, right? Because we make decisions, I may want to go this way, and he may want to go that way. And more or less, we will have conflicts. And when we grow in Christ, we kind of find this conflict getting fierce. Well, and in other part of the Lord's teaching, he also asked us to pray for our enemies, right? To pray for the one who persecute you. Love your enemies. So, which means we face a task that we did not encounter elsewhere. I mean, there's unsaved family members. Not easy, because we cannot get away from them. We have to face them sometimes almost every day. For example, if a couple, one saved, the spouse did not, which means we need to face them every day. So today we'll through this story of Jonathan, we'll find how Jonathan did when he faced unsaved or not in Christ, the Father, King Saul. So we read some verses first. 1 Samuel 14:1. Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. One day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. I will stop here. Here we studied the rule number one. The rule number one is, no matter what's your family member's attitude, you should stand for God at any time. So this is the first thing when we get along with our family members, we should think of. That's whether I stand with God. So we can find that this very interesting. Jonathan, he just stand up and went to the Philistines and fight with them. But at the same time, King Saul was waiting there. And why is that? We know from last chapter, we know a detail, interesting detail. That's the last verse of last chapter, chapter 13 and verse 22. It said, so on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. The reason is that in verse 19, not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel, because Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears. So all Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plowshares, mattocks, axe, and sickles sharpened. So which means the whole people of Israel people, only two men at that time have sword. Others, just like a plow and an axe. that reminds me the day of Esther. Why Esther's father told her, you should be the one that saved the whole country, the whole Israelites, because you are the queen. So here, two men, they have their responsibility. Two men with sword, they have their responsibility to fight for the people. One is Saul, one is Jonathan. But why Saul didn't move? We can have a look at this chapter 14 and verse 18. Chapter 14 and verse 18. Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God. At that time it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. What Saul is waiting for? Saul is kind of, he's very fearful. So when he need to fight, he want the, just like Eli's two sons, right? He want the Ark of Covenant go first. So we know that when Saul did not move, Jonathan think, okay, he should be the one to go ahead. So we find, okay, if we face with our family members, we need to make a choice that we are the sons and daughters of God. We have the responsibility to stand with God. So here, when Jonathan knows that Saul did not move, he stand up. And one interesting detail is, he did not bring other people. He only brings one man carrying his sword. You may ask why, right? Because he's not the king. He's not the king. He did not have the power to move the troops. So he chose what? He chose, okay, I have the responsibility, but I still obey the authority of Saul. For example, I'm a sister. If I saved, and then I need to follow God, but I still obey the earthly authority, no matter my boss or my husband. It's not easy. So generally, if we want to fight, right, we'll bring a lot of people. Even when King David time, when he fight, he brought 300, 400 people. Even Gideon, in Book of Judges, he fight, he brought 300 people. If I'm not wrong, probably this is the only time two of them, they raised and just go ahead. It's not easy, but he knows that he has the responsibility because he has sword. He need to fight, but he has no power. He has no authority to move the troops. And that remind me the relationship when we, for example, after I was saved, I need to face my parents, right? They are not saved at that time. But I can't say, okay, I make the decision for you. I tell you how to organize or how to lead this big family. But I should say I want to go with God. But I will respect your authority. But at any cost, I will go ahead to fulfill my responsibility. So this is the number one rule. And why we need to keep the relationship and keep respecting our earthly authority, because you know what? Lord will use this channel when time is due. You know what? At the worst time, when your family members, they encounter some problems, especially when the consequence of the sins start to appear, you probably the only one in this world he can still trust. So never forsake them. You can have a look at the life of Jonathan. He did not forsake his father until death. Never. Somebody may say, okay, he need to go to another anointed one, David. No, David himself did not forsake King Saul, you know. That's King Saul drove him away. When King Saul chased him around, he said, oh, I'm a, in your eyes, I'm a, just a dead dog, right? I'm just a flea. If possible, he will still want to follow his king. That's King Saul. Because at that time, King Saul is still the king. So, in Jonathan's whole life, he did not forsake his father until death. So for us, we'll never leave our family members, because at one point, if Lord willing, he may use you as a channel to save them. So this is number one rule. You stay with God, you stand up for God, but never challenge the authority and never forsake them. Rules number two, be careful about the temptations from them. Be careful about temptations from them. Let's have a look at chapter 19. We'll continue this Jonathan story. Chapter 19 and verse 4. Chapter 19 and verse 4. And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? I'll read some verses, and we look the line that how Jonathan deal with a rebellious father. First thing he did is he tell the father the right thing in a humble way. So he just tell the father the truth and lead the father back to God, right? You can have the last part of the chapter 5, right? He said, why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? So this is because they utilized this guy, the king Saul, back to the authority of God, right? Although you are king, but you cannot kill anybody without any reason, right? Because we have a real king in heaven. So this is the first thing he did. And secondly, we find in verse 1 and 3, chapter 20, next chapter. And things move on. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then David fled from Naioth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, what have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to take my life? Never, Jonathan replied, you are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without confiding in me. Why would he hide this from me? It is not. It's not so. So, we can find that the Jonathan's reply, he find actually his father start to persecute start to persecute David, and he did not believe. So this is the start, in my thought, the struggle of Jonathan. In his heart, he needs to make a very important decision. We'll move on in the verses, and then we'll see what the struggle is. And in verse 13 to 15, the same chapter, 13 to 15. But if my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away safely, may the Lord be with you, as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. Here, he started to make a covenant with David. You can find, firstly, he persuaded his father. And his father even swore that I will not kill David. Actually, Saul is lying, right? And when David was persecuted, David reported to Jonathan. Jonathan realized this reality that his beloved father may do a thing, really rebellion, to kill another anointed one. Well, he make a covenant with David. He decided that even though his father may be rebellion to God, he want to obey God. And then let's move on in verse 30 to 33. Same chapter, 30-33. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on his earth, on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die." Okay, we find King Saul now. He's keen to kill David, even to an extent. He threatened to kill his own son. Of course, he will not, but he's furious. He's angry. So the whole story now, the whole picture comes up. Let's do some comparison. Several details comparison. Firstly, we find the fact is Jonathan is a king, future king, right? He's a princess. He's a future king, the heir of the throne. Well, when King Saul did this crime, Jonathan faced the number one enemy is what? His enticement as a future king. Why? Because he could be the king. If King Saul is the king, and David died, he's the future king. So this is the number one we find. We may meet the temptation. So that's enticement. We find the actually we may also be enticed to do the same thing when our family members are doing so. And secondly, we find Jonathan is very brave. We skip some verses in the previous chapter. Jonathan, one time, that's the same battle after in rule number one, we read the same battle. Afterwards, it was a victory. And then at that day, King Saul made a rule that nobody can eat until all the enemy are vanquished. So Jonathan on that day said, okay, that's not a wise rule. Because from this, we can see, actually, Jonathan is a king with a pastoring heart, with a kind heart. He's definitely a better king for Israelites than his father. So what's this in temptation? That's the human pride. Look at this. If I am Jonathan, if I was Jonathan, okay, I'm better than my father. And if you compare Jonathan and David, you find these two are very similar. Both of them, they love sheep, right? Both of them, they're very courageous. They face the enemy by themselves. And David faced Goliath, right? And Jonathan, with a man carrying sword, faced the whole Philistines. And both of them, they won the victory, they won the battle of killing another anointed one. Right? Because Jonathan did not kill King David. And King David did not kill King Saul, right? If I'm not wrong, this is probably the only two cases in the Israelites' history. The whole history is full of if Lord send a prophet to anoint one, quickly this guy will raise and kill the existing king. Or the existing king know the news, will chase this guy, and this guy fled to other countries. So full of this story. Yeah. One time, very interesting. One prophet went to tell a man that he will be the anointing him, he will be the future king. And God tell this prophet, after anointing him, run away. And this man went back to the meeting, and all his friends asked him, what's the prophet said? He said, nothing. He said, no. They said, no, something happened. And he said, oh, okay, I will be the anointed king. And everybody pushed him to be the king. You know why? Because if they do not do so, they will be persecuted by the existing king. Because nobody won this battle. Only these two. Jonathan is not someone that a social man. It's a godly man. So godly, if I compare apple compare with David, I find it's kind of apple to apple. The only maybe a drawback is King David, when he fight with Goliath, he just stand up and go ahead. Jonathan stand up and told the man carrying the sword, okay, we go ahead. If that guy Philistine tell us to go ahead, we just this is a sign. He asked a sign from a God. I don't want to be too harsh with to Jonathan. I think that's probably the only point I find if I compare Jonathan with David. All the others the same. Okay, back to the point. Why Jonathan cannot be the king? That's not a question we should ask, right? He is the king. He appoint this one. He appoint that one. We just responsible for what? Obedience. So what Jonathan think? He never think, okay, I should be the king. If I compare myself with David, he's the same. Why not? I cannot be the king. Well, in that point, he's been caught by Satan. So Jonathan, the second enemy, first one is enticement. Second one is what? It's pride. He overcome. The third one, let's have a look. So, why Saul is just want to kill David at any cost? For him only? I don't think so. For Jonathan, right? Yeah, for Jonathan. So, brothers and sisters, I tell you the truth. There's one kind of love in the world. I make a name, that's fake love. That only exists among families. What's fake love? That's he commit crime. I enjoy the pleasure of sin. He commit crime and give me the pleasure of sin. And he told me that's the way he loves me. Is that right? If the one who loves you the most, he cheat others and make some money and give the money to you. He said, I so love you. Do you know how much risk I take? Don't you know I love you so much? What do you think? You accept the money? No. You even not accept his fake love. This is not the true love. True love always based on truth, based on obedience to God. There's no single love in this world that can show the love to you but disobey God. No this kind of love in this world. So the fake love is the third enemy that Jonathan was facing that time. And if I have looked at this order, the enticement, when I worked for others, I'm an employee in a company, I may meet, right? Because he may use money to entice me to do some bad thing. And secondly, pride. Well, in company, I can be a proud man, right? But in company, your colleague will not give you fake love. He will commit crime, and he will enjoy the pleasure of sin. But in families, you'll be cautious. The fourth one, and the last one. King Saul commit crime. That will bring the consequence to Jonathan. That will bring the curse to Jonathan. So that's why Jonathan tell, we just read in chapter 20 and verse 13 to 15, right? That verse is, that's why Jonathan, when he make the covenant with David, why he said this word, he said, but verse 14, but show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may be not killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. He realized that in case his father really rebellion to an extent, want to kill David, this reality, this thing will influence himself and his descendants. So the fourth enemy is what? It's fear. It's fear. Because this family member sin, that will influence me. They will brought me into this situation that I don't want to be in. And to an extent, because he is the authority, I cannot change his mind. I have no other choice. At that time, when I read all these verses, I'm so touched by Jonathan's faith. Not easy, dear brothers and sisters, really not easy. Even to this fourth step, you find so long as, okay, I just don't let David know, right? Because it's not myself to kill him, right? I just, no need for me to notify him, or no need for me to help him run away, right? Because I'll be dead. I'll be punished. I'm on the same boat with King Saul. So I have looked at all these temptations. And finally, his choice means that I will stand with God, even at the cost of my life. So we know that in the Bible there's a lot of cases talking about how to deal with unsaved family members. For example, like Genesis, Joseph and his unsaved or unbelief 10 brothers, and Eli and his unbelief 2 sons. But if you compare all these cases, Jonathan case is probably the best one that show you how the extreme you can go. How extreme you can go. Because for example, like Eli's case, Eli is the father, right? 2 sons. So Eli is authority. He can make the decision. He can rebuke to 2 sons or even do more, right? He has authority. He's not only the father, he's the high priest. He can cut off this responsibility of his 2 sons, drove him away, right? But no choice for Jonathan. His father is the king. He's the son. And if King Saul made the decision, I will, at any cost, I will kill David, Jonathan cannot change his father's mind. But he can what? He can believe in God. He can believe in God. Lastly, rule number 3. Perseverance, long suffering. And in the time, you always do God's will. Why this point? Because you can find, if you obey God's will for one time, probably it's possible. But if you find with time going by, your unsaved father's soul did not change at all, this is another task, right? You probably find it's hopeless. I see no light. I don't know how to deal with it. No way to get out. No future for me, right? But have a look at what Jonathan's action. 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 15. Verse 15. While David was at Horeb in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horeb and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them make a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horeb. This could be the last mention of Jonathan meeting with David alive. You can find this already sometime later, after the first time King Saul tried to kill David. So Jonathan faced the same situation in his life until death. What situation? He cannot change his father's mind. He need to obey God. He need to protect David at any time, at any cost. And he cannot forsake his father. All this point to one time that he died with his father. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that our Lord is so gracious. So far, what I learned, even my own family, God is way better than this extreme. He always have you maybe wait for half a year or 1 year, you find your husband change or your son start to read Bible. But even 3 years, 5 years, or even longer, I want to encourage you. There is another case or another example in Bible that can strengthen you. Lastly, I give you the most lovely word regarding Jonathan. That's 2 Samuel 1. 2 Samuel 1. 1st and chapter 1, 23, or 26. 2 Samuel chapter 1, 26. This already after Jonathan died. I grieve for you. This is from King David. This is David's lament for Saul and Jonathan. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You are my dear to me. Your love for me was so wonderful, more wonderful than that of woman. When I first time read this, I did not understand. And when I meditate the life of Jonathan, I was so touched. This is not only from David, this is from God. Jonathan had his reward. I should tell you, brothers and sisters, even you, like Jonathan, you wait in your lifelong, you wait for a rebellion family members to come back, and in your lifetime you did not see. I should tell you, you already received the reward from God. Because why David say this? Because David knows that Jonathan, he should be the king if King Saul killed David. So Jonathan used his life, his throne, his everything to give it to David as a sign to show that I want to obey the will of God, not my own. So in God's eye, what will be our sacrifice to Him? Let's have a look at Jonathan. We are descendant of Adam and Eve. We are theoretically the king of this world, right? We just like the king's descendant, right? So we use the corrupted throne and put it down. And Lord said, Lord, I will use this to swap the eternal acknowledgement from you, the eternal crown from you. Even to an extent that I will die in this world. This is a blessing choice. And when Jonathan died, he did not see the Mephibosheth's blessing from David. He did not see the powerful kingdom of David. He even did not see his father, rebellion father, become saved. Basically, he saw nothing positively in our earthly eyes, positively. But his faith, God received it. This is the verse that I think Holy Spirit through David gave to Jonathan and acknowledged his faith. That's enough. Not necessarily say, okay, I need to be King David. If we compare Jonathan and David, it could be the same, right? But God said, okay, Jonathan, your task is, you'll be the best example of all those who are in the same dilemma in the next thousand of years. And encourage all of them to follow you obey God's will. And finally, on that day, you will get the praise from our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we have this good example of Brother Jonathan. Lord, because today we are facing similar situation. We are facing the similar temptation. We are facing the similar rebellion family members. Lord, please give us the heart of Jonathan's heart to obey your word, to obey your will, even to an extent that I may sacrifice my life. Lord, please strengthen us if we are weak. Please encourage us if we are fearful. Lord, we put ourselves into your hand until that day. That day, we'll see you and we may hear from you that you said your faithful servant. That's enough. That's enough for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.